Oh, you had to know they were going to do something to level things out scoring-wise, and that's exactly what happened on a Saturday. Third round 2016 Players Championship. You know, the second Star Wars was The Empire Strikes Back. Here, the tour, the players, the organizers, the TPC Sawgrass struck back, and in a big way scoring-wise. The story is Jason Day still in the lead, but probably the overarching story is scoring ballooned. Welcome in. It is Golf News Net Live. I am your humble host, TJ Reeves. I've got Ryan Ballingy, the owner, the operator, the lead writer of GolfNewsNet.com with me. What do we make of that today, my friend?
I have a feeling, based on what I've seen and what I've heard today, that this was a mistake, that this was not intentional by the tour, that they had a feeling that they were going to get a high humidity day and that it was going to hold moisture from yesterday. Not quite the same as yesterday when we had the storms, but that they thought that it wasn't going to be all that windy and that there was going to be some element of humidity, and they did not get that whatsoever. They got the complete opposite. They got windy and no humidity, basically, just hot, and it burnt out the golf course. It made the greens incredibly fast, and it made the green surface, you know, the putting surfaces extremely difficult to hold. And the end result is a scoring average of 75.5 and 149 three putts or worse, which is a new PGA Tour record for a single round, and basically a 500 shot turnaround over the scoring.
Incredible.
Between the first 2 days combined, which was about -260, and today, which was +260, which is obviously incredible to think about. So what a turnaround. And as I mentioned, I don't think this was intentional. I don't think this is what the tour was going for, but that this is a disaster. It's bad.
Well, the real story is Jason Day is still in the lead by four shots. This time on Friday night, we were talking about, could he get to 20 under? You were even saying Greg Norman's 24 under in 1994 in Jeopardy. He held on, shot 73, and has the lead. But I mean, the real story is what you just said. A couple of more stats that illuminated. I just saw this one as we're recently in the aftermath of round number three here on GNN Live. 5.5 stroke difference, +5.5 scoring round three above round two. 5.5 strokes. It's the largest differential, positive or negative, ever in the 43 years of this event. So that's one thing. Six guys under par only. We'll get into that in a little bit. And I don't know how in the world Ken Duke shot 65 today out of that. But only six guys out of over 75 of them on the course broke par. So, scoring way, way up. Putting on those greens way up. Took forever to play the third round. So much to get to on this front. Let's begin with Jason Day. And it's a 73 in the end, but it's a 73 that honestly, Ryan, this could have been 76. It could have been 77. He makes two double bogeys on the front nine. He held it together. How and why on the back and coming in?
I have to give Jason Day a ton of credit. To shoot 73, having a four putt on the sixth hole, to have a four putt there for double bogey, and that was a shaky make for the fourth putt, and he looked uncomfortable out there. He looked on edge, just like every other player in the field was. So for him to gut out 73, knowing he had a big lead, knowing that, I mean, he had to have seen on the scoreboard so many different players posting awful scores right in front of him. And obviously he had the group in front of him to see that the scoring average was pretty high. So for him to get 73 out of today, all things considered, that is an outstanding round. And obviously given the scoring average, that beats the scoring average by 2.5 shots. So even though he didn't break par today, real par was 75.5. He basically shot the equivalent of 69 on a normal day at this golf course. That's remarkable. That expands his lead, well, keeps his lead at four and nearly expanded it. And then you've got two guys who shot some of the best rounds you'll ever see in the history of this tournament, given the conditions and everything else that happened, right behind him in Hideki Matsuyama and Ken Duke at 10 under par, as well Alex Chayka, who hung in there with 72 impressively to get in there at 10 under par.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about Matsuyama, the Japanese star who won earlier this year on the tour, has a couple of wins recently. Ken Duke, 47 years of age, has only one PGA Tour win. It came 3 years ago, but he is right in the thick of things as well after a 65 today. More on those guys in just a little bit. Jason Day, there was one moment where he was teetering on Saturday evening. On the 15th hole, he had hit an errant drive. His second shot went into the trees left of the green. That was a situation, again, two double bogeys already, where maybe he's looking at five, looking at six. He's going to bring the whole field back into play. He somehow is able to chip in for par from about 60, 70 feet off the front of the green, below the green. Magical chip shot that really reignited his round for the final four holes, when, again, he avoided bogey, he avoided double bogey. I thought really that was the moment of his back nine right there, Ryan.
That was a big one, and certainly getting up and down on 13 after hitting what on most days would be a pretty decent tee shot into the par three, hits a 7-iron in there, and there was almost no way of stopping it at the hole location, and it goes over the back, gets into a really awkward position, and he got himself a crafty little up and down to make three and continue the momentum of the day. I mean, to play the back nine in two under par 34 is remarkable, given everything that was out there today in front of him. And I personally thought the best hole of his back nine was 16, to hit an absurd three wood 330 yards and then hit an eight iron 200 yards to 6 feet. I know he didn't convert the eagle, but nonetheless, he made a 520 yard hole look like a pitch and putt. And that's the kind of thing that Jason Day can do when he's playing at his best. And that's got to be something that has to worry guys who are trying to chase him down tomorrow, because they know most of them don't have that in the bag.
Well, and as you were saying this, I say this all the time on the air, off the air, covering the game of golf, and you will echo this. When you think you know what kind of talent these guys have, what kind of length, what kind of a different level of play they have, you don't know. When you hit a three wood like he did, 320 on that hole, you have 8-iron coming in under the pressure on that par five and hit a great shot like he did. It's just another planet that these guys play on a lot of the time, and that just shows you when the scoring is as disastrous as it was today, it was more the course and the conditions. This was something out of a windy, freezing cold British Open third round instead of what we saw at the Players Championship. Again, that's Ryan Ballingy. I'm TJ Reeves. This is Golf News Net Live, or the hashtag GNN Live. You could sound off to us, communicate to us those two different ways about Jason Day's four-shot lead going into Sunday, or the real story, the carnage on the course. And again, we'll get into some of those that did things to the positive, but you look at, I mean, Russell Knox, a disastrous 17th hole. More on that in a little bit here on tonight's program. He ends up shooting 80, goes from being in contention with a couple of holes left, shoots 80. Zach Johnson began this day at 8 under par and shot 80 today on the day, and he was not alone. I mean, James Hahn won last weekend at the Wells Fargo Championship, 79 for him today. Will Wilcox, the guy that made the famous hole-in-one yesterday with the yellow ball that we'll be talking about forever and was 5 under par, shot 82 today. The course took no prisoners, Sawgrass, in round three. I mean, Ryan, give me another follow-up on those scores, those ballooning scores today that we saw.
It was really easy for things to get away from the players that made the weekend field today. I think that's just the reality of it. That once you kind of realize what was out in front of you, you can do one of two things in these kinds of conditions. And this is exactly what happens in the U.S. Open. Once you kind of get on the bogey or double bogey or worse train, then it's kind of hard to get off, especially once you see yourself plummeting down the leaderboard, when you realize that pars are good scores. If you're playing well from tee to green, it's okay, because you understand that, you can kind of process that, you take your birdies where you can if you get any of them, and you're just trying to make pars. But if you're on the opposite side and you make a double and another double, all of a sudden you're pressing, because even though you know the scoring conditions are difficult, you still want to try and make up shots against the field, and you figure the pars aren't going to do it, even though the guys that are playing well know pars are going to do it. So I think for a lot of these guys, shooting well above the scoring average today, they probably pressed a little bit. They probably realized if they were going to get anywhere close to where Jason Day was, even after he kind of had the stumble on six, they were going to have to do something special, and it probably led to a little bit of overreaching and obviously some high scores.
And again, I'm just singling out certain guys. Jason Duffner came in at 8 under par, 80 today for Jason Duffner. Sergio Garcia in the hunt had a quad on the front nine. He ends up shooting 79. I mean, it was or 77 rather, and is 1 under. Boo Weekly was in this thing at 8 under, 78 today. It was just that tough, especially around the greens. Okay, so before we wrap here in this first segment, let's talk about the positives. First, Hideki Matsuyama, who, again, has been playing well. He won earlier this year at the Waste Management in a playoff, had a top 10 recently at the Masters, played really well in round number three. Let's talk about that round a little bit, as he had some struggles early on his front nine with a couple of bogeys, but basically came in with three straight birdies on 10, 11, and 12, parred his way in, and ends up shooting 67. Ryan, a quick thought on the Japanese star.
Beautiful round, and this is exactly something that Hideki Matsuyama is capable of. He is such a good golfer from tee to green. His only hiccup in his game is when the putter doesn't work, which is more often than not, unfortunately. If he ever figures out how to putt consistently, even for 1 year, he is going to crush the PGA Tour. But he'll take 67 today. That's 8 better than the scoring average, which is incredible. And he's got himself in position, and he gets to look down Jason Day tomorrow. And I think that is a big moment for him. It's a big opportunity for him to look at a guy who is, in terms of potential, better than him in Jason Day. But from tee to green, he will be able to keep up with Jason Day, I think. And if he can make a few putts and all of a sudden things get a little bit tight, then maybe this is a tournament Matsuyama can win.
Good point there. Ken Duke, meantime, as we have mentioned, 47 years of age, won previous win in 2013 at the Travelers Championship. He puts together the round of the day and one of the rounds of the year on the PGA Tour, a 65, 10.5 shots below the scoring average. That includes him finishing his final nine holes on the front nine with five straight birdies on the third through the seventh hole, birdie on the par five ninth, so he shoots 30 on his final nine, the front nine, and really kind of unassuming, under the radar, not a big gallery following him, a perfect scenario to put himself in position. And a real quick thought from you, Ryan, on Ken Duke's round.
This should be the new course record. This is the course record. 65 on a day when the scoring average was 75.5. He beat the scoring average today by 10.5 shots. I don't know what more to say than that.
Right.
I mean, he shot the equivalent of 61.5.
Can I stop you? Can I stop you for a second? Because it's not for the win, but everybody talks about that final round that Davis Love had. What was it? The 2003 Players. What was he like? 10, he was a 9 or 10 shots better than the field, and it won the Players. So I get it. But Ken Duke, is this a good silver medal? This is a good runner up on being that good on the same course, that much better than the field average?
I still think it's better than Davis Love's final round to win this tournament 13
wow.
years ago.
Wow.
Because the conditions are that difficult. I mean, this is shooting 65 on a U.S. Open caliber setup at the Players' Championship. And this course is not really – this course should not be designed to set up this – it's not designed to be set up this way.
Yeah.
So for what Ken Duke did, and to have, like, officially six people watching him on the eighth hole, his 17th of the day, when he's having – one of the best rounds in the history of this championship, that's unbelievably under the radar. Now the question is, now that he's in the spotlight, he's got the next to last pairing tomorrow, does he play the same way, or does he kind of back down a little bit, realizing the lights are on him?
Well, the interesting thing, he's going to play with Alex Chayka again. They're going to be in the second to last group, as they were the last two guys to get in at 10 under. Matsuyama was the first guy to get in at 10 under, so he's with Jason Day, four shots back. Francesco Molinari in at 9 under will be in the third to last group, and because Retief Goosen got in first, speaking of Shinnecock 2004 in a U.S. Open survival, that was Retief Goosen winning it. Goosen shoots 70, three rounds of 70, 68, and 70. He will be in the third to last group with Molinari now. So that's interesting as he tries to revive his career a little bit. Some intriguing names that are now on the radar. Can anybody catch Jason Day? That's the real story of this Players' Championship. Ryan, stand by. We've got more on the way about round three. We've both described it on social media as carnage in round three, and we're talking about that tonight on Golf News Net live in the aftermath of round three of the Players. More on the way. We're going to play a little agree or don't agree about today and previewing the final round tomorrow. Stay with us.
Are you getting overwhelmed with tracking social media? All the mentions, likes, hearts, emojis, and who likes hamburgers and tacos? Is your CMO and digital director on your back about audience insights and what's trending? If so, you need to take the guessing game out of social media and email Quentin now. Email Quentin at q@zoomph.com. That's the letter Q at zoomph.com. Quentin is familiar with your problems. He spent years playing collegiate sports and professional football. He knows what drives fan experience on and off the field, so you don't need a $1 billion software company to get your data and give you reports you can't even make sense from. Zoom works with hundreds of universities and professional sports teams to drive up engagement and sponsorship revenue. So take the guessing game out of social engagement and see why the digital teams at Duke, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Boston College, and the ACC all leverage Zoom for your complete social media analytics and brilliant web and in-venue visualizations. Email Quentin at q@zoomph.com. That's the letter Q at zoomph.com.
We are back in the aftermath of round three of the Players' Championship. TJ Reeves with you on Golf News Net Live, and we've got the owner, the purveyor, the lead writer of GolfNewsNet.com, Ryan Ballingy, a man who's already said in segment number one that this was really an embarrassment, that the PGA Tour and the organizers of the Players got fooled by the course today. You described it earlier, Ryan, as taking a blowtorch to these greens. Yes, Jason Day in the lead, but you believe that the 1A story is here the setup and how wrong it went, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Tour made a bad guess, as I said at the onset of our show this evening. And I earnestly believe they did not try to do this, but the public doesn't know that. And maybe the public doesn't care. Maybe there are plenty of golf fans out there, and we would love to hear from you at Golf News Net on Twitter or hashtag GNN Live about this. But I'm sure maybe a segment of the public doesn't really care that there's carnage. They just want to see how guys compete against each other. They don't care about the course as much. But this golf course is not designed to be set up this way. The Players' Championship is not designed to be contested this way.
Right.
That's not the nature of this tournament. And unfortunately for the PGA Tour, they got a round today that has a dramatic impact on the tournament itself. And obviously is a big turnaround from the soft conditions they had earlier in the week. And all of a sudden, you've kind of got a Frankenstein tournament. And
it's alive!
Right, exactly. Or you can have a Jekyll and Hyde tournament, if you want to call it that, where you have the first 36, you've got this 18, and then who knows what we get tomorrow. But you've got at least two sides to this tournament, if not three sides to this tournament. And I'm not entirely sure that is a good thing for the Players' Championship, because if you think about the U.S. Open and you think about what they try to do, they try to make it hardish on Thursday, let 4, 5, 6, 7 guys get under par, and they ratchet it up slowly. You know, Friday's a little harder. Saturday, it's pretty hard. Sunday, holy crap, it's really hard. But there's room for the best of the best to move up and down the leaderboard. That is not what happened here today. I mean, you had, again, 6 guys get under par, and everyone else was just hanging on.
Yeah, and those 6 names, again, Hideki Matsuyama, Ken Duke got under par today, Kevin Chappell and Retief Goosen with 70s, Daniel Summerhays, and also Graham McDowell. And that's it. 6 guys got under par today. And out of those 6 guys, there are really Only four of them that are in the top 10 with what we would say is a legitimate shot, barring Jason Day falling completely apart. Again, it's his tournament for now by virtue of his 73 and the way that he played coming in, playing the final four holes in one under with the great chip-in par save at 15 for Day, makes birdie at 16, put it on at a lengthy two-putt, as it turns out, on the Island Green 17, and makes the par at 18. So solidly playing coming in to have that four-shot lead. Hideki Matsuyama of Japan, two-time winner on the PGA Tour, will be in the final group with him. So, again, that's the setup for Sunday and this unofficial fifth major. Are you ready to play some agree or don't agree, Ryan Ballin? Just becoming a staple here of Golf News Net Live. You ready to go?
I'm fired up. Let's do it.
Let's do this officially.
It's time for agree or don't agree.
All right, agree or don't agree. Let's start right there with Jason Day. Do you believe, you said last night on this program on the Friday night show that you believed he was going to run away with it. Does he win this thing going away, or do we have a nail biter Sunday? Let's go right for it.
I think he runs away with it. I still stand by that prediction, and I say that because I feel even more adamantly today given how he handled the dramatic shift in conditions. He managed to right the ship and shoot only 73. Like we mentioned, that's 2.5 strokes better than the
two double
today.
Bogeys in the three holes doesn't give you pause that this could be close coming in?
It doesn't, because he got off the double bogey train, which is really hard to do as a competitive player. So kudos to him for figuring out a way to kind of steer himself back to par. He hung in there on the tough holes. He knew the back nine would be somewhat gettable. There were a couple of opportunities for him to score, and he took advantage of those. And I think that goes to show you he can handle conditions where you got to go low. Obviously, he shot 63 to open the week, and he knows how to handle it when you've just got to hang on. And I think to show that he can do those two things very well in the context of this single week leads me to believe he can handle whatever the tour is going to throw at him tomorrow.
And he's had an amazing run for the last year and a half with all of the wins, including the PGA Championship, including winning earlier this year. He is obviously the favorite and the guy that everybody is chasing, and it went with a comfortable four-shot lead and, again, showed great composure down the stretch. All right, another agree or don't agree. Akin Duke, who is as approachable a guy, kind of an everyman from Hope, Arkansas, from a city called Hope. Remember all that? It's a presidential year, right? He's from Hope, Arkansas, where former President Bill Clinton is from. And Duke has a couple of previous Web.com Tour wins, has a PGA Tour win about 3 years ago. He's 47 years of age. We have waxed poetically, Ryan, about the round that he played today. Agree or don't agree that Ken Duke in the second to last group hangs in and has a chance to win this thing on Sunday afternoon?
I got to disagree. I mean, it's one thing to shoot the round that he did today, and I'm not going to take anything away from it, whether there were 10 people watching or 20,000 people watching what he was doing. It's incredible to do what he did today. But now he is in a completely different position than he was on after Thursday when he was, I think, tied for 118th in the field. He's now tied for second, and he has a chance for the biggest win of his career, a career-defining win, as we mentioned, 47. There aren't going to be a whole lot more of these days for Ken Duke that he's going to get tomorrow, and I'm sure he's going to handle it a whole lot differently than he did today with no one watching and making five straight birdies on a really difficult golf course. So I do not expect him to wind up being in the final equation, but I'd love to be surprised.
Interesting that we talked about Jerry Kelly being 49, and he fell off a bit in the Saturday third round. Ken Duke, again, is 47. You've got Retief Goosen, who is also 46 years of age, or actually now 47 years of age. He's another 47-year-old at 8-under. Again, Retief has kind of popped up here. Is he? I mean, we'll just say it on a little minor note. Is he going to hang in as well up there in age? I mean, we saw Bernhard Langer struggle to hang in his 50s at the Masters back a month ago. Is Goosen going to be able to hang in along those same lines? Agree or don't agree?
I think the stock answer is no, that the Goosen's going to struggle, because once you're past 40, it's hard to expect someone to get on that horse one time on Sunday and carry it to the finish ahead of everybody else. So the stock answer is no. And again, just like with Ken Duke, I would love to be surprised. I would love for Retief Goosen to be a part of this and get one last ride into the sunset, because his career is closer, way closer to the end than to the beginning But I don't think he's going to be a part of the final equation.
Let's continue with this.
Agree or don't agree.
We are playing agree or don't agree after the third round of the Players Championship at Sawgrass. It's Golf News Net Live. I'm TJ Reeves. He's Ryan Ballingy, the lead writer on Golf News Net. And you can tweet at us at Golf News Net and also use the hashtag GNN Live if you want to respond to some of what we're hearing, whether you're hearing the show on the site, golfnewsnet.com, or on the tune-in channel for Golf News Net. You can search that at Golf News Net or go under Golf and find it. We're here in the aftermath tonight of the third round. We'll be here on GNN Live after the final round and a champion is crowned tomorrow night. So let's continue on agree or don't agree. You've already vociferously, there's a good word, put it out there that you believe that the tour and the Players Championship organizers with the setup got fooled, made a mistake here. Do you believe that the hole locations will be different and the setup will therefore be a bit easier depending on when, etc.? Will they try to give the players every chance to lower those scores on Sunday? Agree or don't agree, they're going to try to make good.
I don't know that they're going to try to make good. I'll disagree. I think that they have a setup that they like on Sundays. They know where some of the hole locations are going to be. You know where the pin's going to be on 17. It's just over the pot bunker,
right,
precariously on the edge. You know where that's going to be. You know where the hole location is going to be on 16. You got to get it back to the right and to have any kind of chance for eagle. So you know what most of those hole locations are going to be. I think the ones that are kind of earlier in the round might be a little bit more generous to get these guys a little cheerier as they head to the backside. That would be my thinking if I
cheerier,
was
cheerier, false sense of security, whatever metaphor you want to use. Yes, continue
exactly.
On.
However,
yes,
you want them to feel going into the back. But I feel like the front nine is going to be their opportunity to be the kind of the olive branch to go, look, hey, we made a bad yesterday. We're not going to kill you today until it comes to the backside when this tournament is decided. And then we expect you to perform just like you would on any Sunday here.
Agree or don't agree.
Hey, Rory McIlroy is a name that we have yet to mention on this Saturday night show. Started with a birdie at one and then unfortunately faltered badly, especially on the back nine, where he played so well on the back nine Friday morning as his first nine faltered today. Let's do a quick agree or don't agree on him. Does Rory, he's made some Sunday noise, did so last weekend in Charlotte, has made some Sunday noise at some other tournaments before. Is he going to make any Sunday noise at all to, I'm not saying he's going to win, to leap into contention at all? Agree or don't agree, is Rory cooked for Sunday at the Players?
I don't know. I mean, he's had some very disappointing final rounds when he's found himself in contention this year. He had a good chance at Riviera, kind of let that slide away very, very quickly. He had himself staked to a good lead at Doral, let that slip away. This is a different situation. He's nine back. There's very little to suggest that he's going to all of a sudden turn this around and undo that deficit. But like you said, could he make some noise? Yeah, I think so, especially if he figures out how to play the front nine. If our theory is right and the olive branch is extended on the front nine,
right,
that's the side Rory McIlroy hates the most about this golf course. So if that's the place to score and then they make it a little bit tougher on the back nine, then no, I don't think he'll make a lot of noise. So I'd be hard-pressed to say he reaches better than 8 under par tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then he's still going to top 10. It's just going to be a classic backdoor top 10.
And he starts the day at 9 back of Jason Day. So again, if Day or anybody starts putting some birdies up on the board, it's going to be almost impossible to catch him, but he still may make a big round. We got about a minute left. Any final thoughts, Ryan Ballingy, as we get ready for the final round? You believe Jason Day is going to run away with this? Matter of fact, you said it earlier, he's running away with this.
I still think he is, and I hope it does not take 5 hours and 44 minutes in the final group tomorrow for him to prove me right or wrong, for that matter, no matter
what
the outcome.
Are you saying that jamming the golfers into threesomes and having greens that were like putting in your bathtub were not conducive to fast play? Is that what you're saying pretty much on a Saturday night?
To put it bluntly, yeah. It just is. This today was a bad day for this championship, and hopefully tomorrow we'll make up for it, at least in some way.
Again, read him as well on golfnewsnet.com. We will be back tomorrow night, whatever happens, whether it's a Jason Day coronation for yet another huge win of his career, or somebody comes from behind and gets him. Remember, it was a playoff a year ago, a three-way, three-hole playoff a year ago. We'll find out what happens. Ryan, I'll promise you this. No matter what happens, we will be here tomorrow night to recap it on Golf News Net Live.
And we'll have plenty to say, no matter what.
No doubt about that. Thank you, Ryan Ballingy. I'm TJ Reeves. Thank you for being with us, whether you're hearing us on the site, golfnewsnet.com, or on the TuneIn channel. Again, we're back tomorrow night after the final round of the Players on GNN Live. Bye.